of Lake Effect now on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Cartoonist Keith Knight juggles a lot of deadlines. He's the creator of not one, not two, but three different comic strips, The Knight Life, Think with Ink in parentheses, and the K Chronicles. They all straddle the line between what we consider mainstream and underground comics. But the last strip in that list is a weekly semi-autobiographical strip that's allowed him to share his distinctive view of the world, that of a middle-aged African-American cartoonist.
But his latest project is based on someone else's semi-autobiographical work, comedian Craig Robinson, who's acted in everything from the TV show The Office to the movie Hot Tub Time Machine, co-authored the new kids book, Jake the Fake Keeps It Real, along with writer Adam Mansbach. It's about a sixth grader dealing with imposter syndrome in his first year at an arts magnet school. Keith Knight did the illustrations, and that brought him to Milwaukee recently and the Lake Effect Studio as well. Thanks for being here.
I am happy to be here. I'm psyched because one of the things is WUWM sounds almost like WMWM, which is my college radio station in Salem, Massachusetts, Salem State University.
Well, I'm so glad we could make that happen. So I wanted to start maybe by doing something a little experimental. We might organize this interview in a way I don't think I've done before. If you look at the bottom of a Wikipedia page, it has a whole bunch of categories that people are listed under. And I wanted to do a little rapid fire, maybe not so rapid fire, asking you about some of these categories, starting with 1966 births.
Oh, yes, 1966 births.
I won't ask you about 1966 in particular, but let me ask you how old you were when drawing became a big deal for you.
I remember drawing as little as kindergarten, which was probably, 4 years old? But I know I drew before that. I know I drew on a lot of walls in my apartment. But I remember being praised for my dinosaurs in kindergarten. So that's the earliest that I recall. But I've always drawn. So I've got some artists on my dad's side of the family. My dad is a pretty neat illustrator. We spent a lot of time drawing the leaves on trees. Like, we'd draw trees and draw all the little leaves. And then my great uncle was a great painter. And he, you know, he couldn't get into Mass College of Art because of the color of his skin. And but he spent some time in Paris and I was just talking about it earlier. He got stabbed in a bar in Paris. and they weren't stabbing him. They were stabbing someone else, but they sort of missed and hit my uncle. But he gave me the thirst for travel and art at the same time.
All right. So jumping away from the Wikipedia organization for just a minute here, where did you enter the creative process with Jake the Fake?
I was approached early on by Adam Mansbach, who's a friend of mine. We met each other when I lived in San Francisco. And we met each other at we both spoke in this class, and we realized just how much we had in common. We're both from Boston, both big Red Sox fans. We were both rappers in live bands and stuff like that. We just had so much in common and sort of just bonded over that. And at some point, we knew we were going to work together at some point. And he had his, you know, his big hit with the Go to F to Sleep, which was a Facebook post. It started out as a Facebook post. I remember that exact Facebook post and people going, oh, you should make that into a book. But he contacted me. He said, hey, Keith, you know, I got this idea for this new book series. And it's based on Craig Robinson's time as a kid playing keyboards and sort of discovering, finding his calling. And so, you know, I was wondering if you want to do some sample illustrations. We'll do a sample chapter. So he sent me a chapter and I illustrated it. And like, it was a fierce bidding war between companies. And we got a 3-book deal. And it was like exactly how you would hope it would happen. And so then he and Craig collaborated on it. And I just got sent the transcript, the manuscript. And he, you know, they're really good with, like, letting me just do my thing. I showed some character designs, and they said, okay, well, you know, I think originally I wanted to do teachers and model them after all these different comedians. But I think we would have ran into some issues with you know, the comedians. So we stayed away from that. But pretty much, yeah, I was pretty much hands off. And I mean, they were pretty much hands off, I should say. And I just did my thing.
As you say, this is really Craig's story. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot in the book about finding the thing that you're good at that I imagine would resonate with you, too.
Oh, certainly so. I mean, there's a lot of things that resonate with me with the book, but definitely finding your calling. You know, I've always knew what I wanted to do. I just didn't know how I'd get there. So I always knew. But I had a twin sister who didn't know what she wanted to do. So she's done everything. And in some ways, I admire all the different experiences she's had. She's opened up a tea shop. She worked at a zoo, although I worked at a zoo, too. But she is now a yoga instructor, and I think she's found her calling.
Also on the list, people from Malden, Massachusetts. We know you're from Massachusetts. You did not know there was a Wikipedia category, people from Malden, Massachusetts.
I sort of kind of did, and I was disappointed to see that I wasn't on there at one point. But it's home to Killer Kowalski's wrestling school. Jack Albertson from Chico and the Man is from there. And then Gary Cherone, who's the lead singer of Extreme, is from there. And both myself and Gary Cherone were part of the inaugural class of the Malden High School Hall of Fame. So from a few years ago. So I'm very proud to say that.
Well, I was also going to ask, you know, the Boston area in the 60s and 70s was not always noted for its racial harmony. What was the community like for you growing up?
Well, Boston is known as the South of the North. But there's that iconic photo of like a black lawyer being stabbed with an American flag over the busing issue. But I grew up in Malden was very working class. I grew up in the black section of Malden, and it was just sort of as diverse as it's going to be, you know, blacks and whites, Jews. Yeah, I thought it was a wonderful place to live. In fact, I just did a comic strip about I had a recommendation from Facebook to be a friend of the liquor store that was across the street from my apartment. And it just triggered this weird but pleasant memory of my parents giving me money to go across the street to the liquor store and get them two packages of Benson and Hedges. I was age seven with matches, and then just coming back across the street and counting all the little mini bottles of booze on the ground. And I just thought, for some reason, it was like a sentimental thing. And of course, you know, I posted it. Those of you who lived in a certain part of Malden, and then like all these people like, yeah, Vernon's Liquors. And it's just, that's the great thing about doing these autobiographical comics, especially I've been doing it for 25 years. I have this history that I can pass down to my kids. Like, you know, if you wonder why your father beat you, this is the reason. No, I'm just joking. I only beat my children in chess. That's it. Because they're the only ones I can beat. My wife wipes me out. Anyway, but I think it's a really neat thing. And I didn't realize that, you know, recording this history is going to be a neat thing to pass down generation.
I was going to ask if you had such a heady thought in mind when you started doing that.
Certainly not. You know, what I did with the K Chronicles, I came up with the K Chronicles in the early 90s as an answer to what I saw was this misrepresentation of hip-hop fans. You know, everybody was saying, oh, you listen to hip-hop, you're a thug, you're in a gang, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that does not reflect anything that any of my friends were into hip-hop, and we're not. You know, we have jobs, we go to college, we're into politics, we're into other music, we're, you know, nerdy, we're all different types of things. So it was important for me to put that out there. And it totally, I knew that it would be a success. I didn't realize how big of a success it would be. I didn't realize I'd be doing it 25 years later. But it's turned out to be this wonderful thing to sort of check in on and reflect on, and it's everything that all the success I have now has been a result of that comic strip.
Do you think the element of explaining I don't know if explaining is the right word, but do you think the element of showing the other side of hip hop is that not as big a part of the equation anymore? I mean, there are a lot of people that have made that case in the 25 years since.
I don't think it necessarily needs to be my story now because, frankly, hip hop is a young person's music, and like, I still dig Public Enemy and Tribe Called Quest, which it's great that they put out this last album and they got on Saturday Night Live. But you know, how many 25-year-old hip hop groups make it onto Saturday Night Live now? It's barely impossible. But it's barely possible, I should say. But I think it's someone else's story to tell. But you know, my story now is really part of it's fatherhood. You know, the examine fatherhood. But part of it, I think, also when you get to be my age, is history. Is really sort of putting things in context, because now that I think. You don't start thinking about history too much until you hit like 30. And then you're like, holy crap. Like, I think 3 decades just went by really fast. And you realize like, oh my goodness, like I was born in the 60s. Like, wow, like all these people were assassinated in the 60s. And like there was lynching in the 60s and all this different stuff. And you start to realize like things happening over and over again. And, you know, this idea that, oh, yeah, let's do tax cuts for the rich. That will fuel the economy. And then you realize, well, we did that. We did that a couple of times, and it doesn't work. And also you just start to realize, like, wow, okay, you know, if 30 years isn't that long, 50 years is not that long. 100 years is nothing. You know, we have people that are 100 years old. So when people sit there and tell me, oh, you know, when I talk about race issues and tie them back to slavery and stuff, like, oh, slavery happened a long time ago. You know, one of the big lines I say during my slideshow is like, how would you react if someone said, like, you know, get over it. Jesus was a long time ago. Get over it. Like, they'd be totally offended, right? and so it's just like when you open a Black History Museum in D.C., and you open it with a woman whose dad was born a slave, that's not that long ago. And we need to acknowledge that a lot of this stuff resonates now. A lot of the stuff that happened then resonates now, and we need to tie it. We're always looking forward, but if we don't look back, we'll make the same mistakes over and over again. And that's one of the biggest issues that America, biggest problem that America has, I think.
How old are your kids?
8 and 4.
Do you at some level still have to be an optimist about the world they're growing up in?
No. Maybe.
I mean, in a certain way.
Well, we homeschool our kids. And one of the reasons why we decided to homeschool our kids, one is we moved to North Carolina. And despite outward appearances, North Carolina is rather progressive when it comes to homeschooling. And one of the reasons why I'm totally psyched about homeschooling is I don't have to teach my kids the BS history of America. I get to teach them. I'm not going to totally depress them about stuff, but I'm going to say, like, you know, there are people in this country that for some strange reason think people that look like us are inferior to them. And this has gone on for a long time. And the problem is, you know, I basically try to teach in a different way than what people say. So when people say, oh, you know, Black people have accomplished a lot, like, look, you have a first Black president. You know, I look at that as a white accomplishment, because there have been plenty of Black people that have been qualified for president. It's just that white people would never vote for them. So I think white people have progressed to the point where they would allow a Black person to be president. So, white people, congratulate yourselves. you've come around. You know, you've backtracked a bit, but he came around. And so it's those type of things. You know, the greatest thing in the world is the fact that my kids came into this world with a Black president. So, like, automatically, like, the president is you know, it's weird to see a white president. That is wild in and of itself. But, like, you can't take, you can take everything away Obama accomplished, but the one thing you can't take away is the fact that he was there and my kids saw that when they were born. So,
well, and let me ask a strange and potentially awkward question, but, you know, so I was sitting down and reading this.
Embrace the awkward.
You know, I'm totally with you. I was reading this book with my 8-year-old the other day, and it never once came up what color the protagonist was. Should that matter as a white reader?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, I like the fact that you can look at this and just be able to identify with the lead character. You know, it shouldn't be that. You know, it'd be interesting to sort of touch on that issue, maybe here and there at some point. But I like the fact that, you know, there are some stuff that is about that and some stuff that's not about it. I just know that visually, it's super important. I talk to kids all the time about this in schools, how important it was. I had this one substitute teacher that was an aspiring cartoonist. All he did was teach a study class. But the fact that he was up there doodling and he looked like me made me say, I could do that. That, you know, that's something that I could possibly do. And that, I think white people don't understand the value in that because they've always seen themselves represented all the time, you know. And for me, it's either, you know, an entertainer, you know, singer, or an athlete. You know, that's all you see. Or mugshots all the time. Mugshots all the time. You look online for anything, you will just see a mugshot. If you look up black teenager and white teenager, you'll see white teens going to the mall, skateboarding. You see black teenager, you just see mugshots.
So where does Jake the Fake come in this dynamic? Is it a start to change things?
Yeah. Oh, no. I don't fully expect. I will say this. I got a Facebook post by somebody from my college, maybe like last year. And she said that 20 years ago or whatever, 25 years, I can't remember, in school, she said a joke that was a racist joke. And she said, I called her out on it. And I explained to her why it wasn't funny. And that was, and she said, I did it in a way, I didn't get mad, I didn't just, but I explained to her. She said that resonated with her. And she said, she said it changed her thinking. And she has a kid now. And she said she didn't realize how much that meant to her until she had her own kid. And frankly, I don't remember that interaction at all. I was probably stoned. And I don't but the fact that that little thing, and we can all do that. We can call people out on stuff. We can point people out to, why don't you check out this book? Like it's, you know, like all these little tiny things. Not one thing will solve these things, but all these little things will add up to progress. And that's what I'm trying to do with my work and with the work I recommend of others and with, you know, radio station shows like yourself.
Well, I hope we'll have you back.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I totally appreciate it.
Keith Knight is the illustrator of the New Kids book series, Jake the Fake. The first title in the series is just out. It's called Jake the Fake Keeps It Real. The books are written by Craig Robinson and Adam Monsbach.
Knight is also the cartoonist behind three syndicated strips, The Nightlife, Think, and the semi-autobiographical K Chronicles. You can find out lots more about him from links at WUWN.com.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?